Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Man on the Mic podcast, hosted by Jeffrey Mann. This podcast is dedicated to honest discussions that inspire, connect, and bring out the best in our guests. Now let's get started with the show. Here's your host, Jeffrey Mann.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Man on the Mic. I'm joined by a good friend, a brother, Craig Smith, today. We're going to talk about some deep things. We're going to get personal, and we're going to see where the conversation takes us. I want to give Craig a chance just to introduce yourself to everyone.
I appreciate it. And these are my favorite conversations, not the scripted, send me 20 questions and get ready for. So I don't even know what I'm diving into, but I'm excited about it. So to tell you about myself, I can give you what I do as a profession.
Okay.
But that's not who I am. And so I love the question when people are like, tell me about yourself. And so I say it not as often as I would like to, but I am a man of God. I am a patient, present, loving father and husband. I am a hope dealer. I'm a faith spreader and I'm a love giver. That's who I am.
Okay.
What I do is I am blessed to help people in a coaching and a counseling role as a licensed therapist. I work with couples and individuals with all sorts of problems and issues and not even problems. People come to me because they're like, I'm good. I want to be great. How do I go to that next little place in life? And so it's not always issues that bring people into therapy or coaching. It's a desire to grow and improve, and they're just kind of stuck at this place. And I help people get unstuck. So that's me.
How long have you been in counseling?
I have been doing, it's 15 years now I've been a therapist.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. I'm going to just fire right away.
Yeah.
Having coached for so many years, I remember the conversation I've had with kids on the teams and the different things they'd bring to us and the struggles that they were going through. How do you work with people and not take any of that stuff home?
You don't. I hope anybody helping somebody out there takes a little bit of it home. I know what you're asking. How do I not let it impact my life in a negative way so that my kids are impacted or negatively impacted or my marriage? That's tough. That is a tough part. But let me go back to that first part because I love this thought. When I'm done for the day and I've seen my last client and I go home, I'll usually park just up the road a little bit and I'll take 3 to 5 minutes and I'll empty anything out that I have for the day, right? Like Jeff's story that he's telling me, I'm going to go through a little practice and like, okay, we're going to leave that for now. But everything is still kind of with me because I want to pay attention to like what's happening around me and be like, I'm going to take that back to our next session. Like I'm always open to how am I going to help you better the next time we meet? That's by always thinking and having this space open for you. So if things are happening around me, I'm like, that'll be good for that couple that I'm working with. Or I'm reading a book, I'm like, Jeff's going to really, he'll benefit from that. Let me send him a message or take a screenshot. So I'm always thinking about it. I don't always just let it go. But how I make it so it doesn't negatively impact me, I had a really good mentor at the very beginning of my career, and he taught me some good skills about whether it's journaling and just leaving stuff for the day, having some little ritual for the day that's like taking this hat off and putting that hat back on, or you know, little symbolisms like that throughout the day. But that's how I've done it. Everyone's probably a little different, but it works.
Okay. No, I love that. I that was the hardest thing for me was just, you see, the working with kids, seeing them in pain.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out, how do I help this kid? You know, do I need to reach out and have him connect with someone to get help further than what I can do as a coach? But also respecting the boundaries of student, coach.
Yeah.
There's only so much that you can dive in with them.
Yeah.
I'm curious. There's a lot of people, and I've worked with different therapists and counselors and spiritual coaches and human behavior specialists. Mm-hmm. How do you guide people to find someone who's right for them? Someone that works, that will help them?
Usually I am that place. So if it's a coach, like from your position, they're leading me to, or they're leading that person kind of to me.
Okay.
But it doesn't always work out when I'm with somebody, and we'll have to look for a new referral or someone who's more appropriate for them. But It's really, if you can hold some space to just, and I hate that term actually, I can't believe I just used that. If you can hold that space, I don't know what that even looks like, right? But if you can give that time and attention to someone and just hear, like just listen, they usually can point themselves in the right direction. Like they can usually uncover the thing that's kind of holding them back. And it's building up that referral or resource, that network of people and be like, I know somebody who's good for that. Or we were talking before, right? Before we hit record, it was like, yeah, I was thinking of you for somebody. So it's like that. It's, but you'd have to be attentive enough to the person you're working with to be able to go, I got a guy for that. And so it's just listening.
Yeah.
And too many people, I think these days they're not stopping to listen. Because I think a lot of people are just hurting, so they want to be heard rather than listen.
Yeah.
And often it's the thing that you need the most from somebody is what you need to be offering them. So if you want to be heard, you probably need to stop and listen a little bit more. But that's a good way to like know how to connect somebody to the next resource in their life is just pause and listen for a second.
I love that. At what point in someone's life do they need to reach out and seek a therapist or a counselor? I know a lot of people battle different demons and struggles,
yeah.
And everyone is going through something. But at what point, what is that breaking point when it's like you can no longer do it on your own? It's time to go and reach out to someone.
Yeah, I feel like you're setting me up for the trick question. I know you're not, but we're never meant to do this alone, like ever. So I think we should always have somebody in our corner, a coach, a mentor, a friend that is going to last forever. And when those aren't necessarily enough, then we go find some hired help, a coach or a licensed therapist or, you know, whatever role that looks like, a trainer, physical therapy or whatever it is. But it's like, we're never supposed to do this stuff alone. Yeah. We can only go so far alone.
Yeah.
And so I'm not also one of those therapists who's like, everybody should be in therapy. I don't think everybody should be in therapy. It's not always appropriate. Mm-hmm. But we should all have somebody kind of looking, they can offer that unbiased approach of looking at our life. So always, I think we should always have somebody like a coach like yourself in our corner or even if it's a therapist, but they're not like in an acting role as your therapist, like somebody, right?
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I'm super curious for you, someone who is a therapist, if you're in a place where you go and work with a therapist, how do you get in a space where you work with people yourself?
Yeah.
And so what happens when you disagree with that therapist or you're like, hey, this method doesn't work or everything. You're looking and searching for that help yourself.
Yeah.
But because you spent so much time in it, how do you balance that?
Listen, this is some personal disclosure of like, I very often think that my way of thinking is the best way of thinking. And so I have to test that all the time. And sometimes I will like, I'm not right now, but I've had a therapist in the past where I really had to push myself to be like, I wouldn't coach or counsel my people like this, but that's why I'm sitting in this person's office. So there's a lot of humility that has to show up and then just some openness. And even this men's group thing that I'm a part of, like there's things that I'm like, I don't agree with the way some of this stuff is happening, but Craig, remain open because it's not always about the thing that's happening in front of you. This could be the catalyst or the start of the bridge to where I really need to get to.
Yeah.
And I've done that a long enough time in my life, just not as a therapist, but as a human being, that I've learned just remain open. You don't know where this is going. You don't know what this thing is going to lead to, the next relationship, the next piece of information. Maybe it's this book that I'm reading and I hate the book, but it also gave me a reference and that reference becomes my next thing. So just remain open to all of it.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that answered your question, but
no, that made a lot of sense.
Yeah, but like just remain open because it's not always where you start. It's about like the stuff is leading you to the next resource.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I'm curious. One of the things that I've always said about doing a podcast was I would be completely open and I'd be vulnerable and there's nothing off limits.
Yeah.
So I want to dive deep with you for a second.
Yeah.
Almost a mini therapy session. My biggest struggle right now of my life and it's been like this for years, has been my anger.
Okay.
When it sets off, it's off. And it's to the point where, like, I feel no emotional or physical pain. So if I'm angry, I could punch through a wall and I won't feel anything. Yeah. When it wears off, the pain sets in.
Right.
Now, I have done things like I've put in a safe word. So I have a word and I tell my friends I'm with them, like, if I get to that point, say this word and it will diffuse me. I could be running at you full speed, and if they say it, instantly.
Yeah.
It diffuses. So I always have someone, whether it's at a coaching group I'm in, whether it's at sports, I have someone there that has the word.
Okay.
Now, this past weekend, I was at a playing some pickup basketball.
Okay.
And none of my friends who know that word happened to be there.
Oh, great.
And an argument ensued. Mm-hmm. And I can tell when it's coming on. So I go to sit down. I'm like, usually if I remove myself, I'll cool down, calm down, move on. But in that moment, they kept going at me. So now I'm like, okay, now it's on.
Hulk was ignited.
Hulk was ignited.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the part that sets me off even worse is someone puts a hand on you and they try to separate you. Then it's on.
That physical touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so as soon as that happened, I threw someone into a set of chairs. I was yelling at the other person.
And you're not a very, like, threatening looking person.
I hope
either.
Not.
Like, no. Your size, I'm joking.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you get angry, I'd imagine people are going,
oh, yeah.
Well, stay out of the way of that.
Large, angry black man syndrome. It's, yes. I understand it. Yeah. But those who know me, I love and I'll do anything for my friends.
Yes.
And in the process, I've been battling. So I ended up leaving. Mm-hmm. The one person I got into arguing with completely blocked me on social media, number, everything. The kid that ended up throwing, I reached out and apologized to him. But he has his own, from his childhood, some demons when physical touch happens that set him off and triggered him. Mm. So giving space there. But I couldn't sleep that night and just battled that. And I got so frustrated with myself because I go to a point where I'm doing so well. Things are great, everything. And then something small sets it off and I feel like I'm back at square one.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, how do you manage that? You slip up and you feel like you're back at square one, even though you've been putting a lot of time and effort and money into making yourself a better person.
That's such a great question and visual. So hopefully if people are watching and listening to this, they can get into this visual representation of, like, so we're climbing a mountain.
Okay.
We're climbing a mountain and there's checkpoints along the way up this mountain. And when you fall and slip, we do go back down the mountain, but thankfully there's these checkpoints of progress. And once we reach the next one, when we slip, we stop there. And a lot of people will say, and I've heard that term a lot, right? I'm back to square one. It's like, you're not. You're rarely back to square one because you've learned things along the way. So learn to have a new perspective on your setbacks. That one, this setback didn't take you to square one. Maybe it put you to square two. Maybe you've advanced just a little bit. You know, like I think we're maybe a little closer in age, but like when we would play video games as a kid, you'd hit a certain place and if you died, you just went to that.
Yep.
You didn't go back to the start.
Yeah.
That's the same as like our growth and healing and progress in life. Is like we're going to hit these checkpoints and these milestones. And even when we have setbacks, because we will, you haven't had the last Hulk moment in the gym.
Yeah.
I promise. But can you recover quicker next time? Can you cause less damage to others emotionally or physically or whatever next time? Yeah. If you just looked at the setback, the anger as square one, you're always going to feel like you're not growing. But if you can look at, okay, but I didn't put my hands on somebody this time. Cool. I didn't go to square one. Square one, I would have thrown people through the wall and I would have banged my chest louder and I would, right? So one is look at your setbacks and still seek out the progress inside of the setback. I call these indicators of progress. Like we still have setbacks, but man, look at how I did this time versus last. Or see how quickly I made amends and apologized and reached out. Usually I'd wait till they did something. Now I'm taking initiative. And so we're looking for these little ways. I get rambly, so if you need to stop me, stop me. But so you're climbing this mountain and we have a setback, but we don't go back to the bottom of the mountain. And if we can learn to recognize that, I think a lot of the work I do with clients is like, we just got to shift perspective here. If you can start to see, then you won't get as down on yourself. Because you're like, oh, I didn't go all the way back to the base.
Yeah,
I'm just at that checkpoint. Okay, so let's go back through checkpoint 1 to 2. You missed some things along the way. Get to checkpoint 2.
Okay.
Between 2 and 3, there's another setback, but we're at point 2. All right, you with me though?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I would look at that stuff. There's so much progress happening that just because we do fall doesn't mean you lost all the lessons along the way.
Do you believe, because one of the things going through my mind is like, do I just need to remove myself from that environment? Because I know that's the one place where it flares up. And I was talking to my buddy about this and I was like, maybe I just need to find something else to do. And my buddy's like, well, but don't run from it.
Right.
And so that's the balancing act of is I know where it flares up.
Right.
If I remove that, I have a better chance of it not happening. But at the same time, it's like you don't want to run away from all your problems.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. But you get to know yourself well enough that if I go play basketball, and even we get even more specific, if I go play basketball at that place on a Friday night, I know the group of people that are there. I only go if someone with my safe word is with me.
Okay.
Right? So you can't control every variable of life. You can't.
Yeah.
But you can set yourself up to like really succeed. Years ago when I worked in addiction recovery, we would talk to people about their triggers for relapse. And it was like Friday night, payday, after 5 p.m., if I'm around these specific people. Right? So it was like their relapse was like, it came out of nowhere. It's like, really? Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
It didn't happen on a Wednesday. And maybe it was even a Friday, but it wasn't payday Friday. And maybe it was payday Friday, but you weren't at the drug house where you usually relapse.
Yeah.
And even if you were at that house on payday Friday, it's your one buddy wasn't with you.
Yeah.
So we get it. We combine all of it together and go, there's the formula right there for me to either win or lose. So you should keep playing ball at that gym with those people because it helps you blow off steam or it helps you. Like, we're not in this game of elimination of anger. Anger's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But if we know the buildup, the perfect storm for the Hulk, then we can better prepare for it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go back, but this guy and this guy are with me. Both know my word, and both have the power that if they did grab me, it would reset my brain.
Yeah.
It would interrupt that anger cycle that it could totally stop you. Is that real?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Because who are you without those things?
Yeah.
Let's eliminate that outlet for you. I know you love to ball.
Yeah.
Eliminate that thing from your life. Are you a better or worse off person?
I'd say a worse off person because not only is it an outlet exercise, but also some of my friends that have kids, it's the only time that we get together during the week and can connect. Ooh, and
I love that. It meets more than just a physical outlet for you.
Yeah.
It's a social, it's an emotional, maybe even a spiritual in some sense. So now we won't want to get rid of it.
Well, and the thing, and I've always told people, as I said, I've organized this thing for 9 years. And we've had people who are going through divorce and miscarriages and whatever struggle they have, it's their outlet. And so I always tell myself, I'm scared to get rid of it. Not just for me, but I know it's an outlet for some other person.
Right.
And I know that they need this. And so... But also it's a balancing act, and this is another term I'm sure that you'll dive deep into, but of self-sacrifice. Because I'm also balancing my well-being and my mental health and everything for the betterment of the group.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good term. If you did it, other people continued to benefit, but it ate away at you little by little every time, then maybe we do need to...
Yeah.
Who can take over? Who can I appoint?
Yeah.
Let's keep it going, but I have to step out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Doesn't sound like it's there. You just need to have your committee next to you.
Next to me.
Yeah.
No, I like that. Let's take a break from me for a second. I want to dive. One of the things you said when we started was that you are a man of God, a man of faith. I'd love for you to elaborate on that, on when you say I'm a man of God, what does that mean to you?
Yeah. For me, it's, there's been too many circumstances in life that left alone, would not have turned out the way they did. If it were me, it would have been a mess. There has to be somebody looking out for me. There has to be. And so they're just, and I bet people, and you call it God, it's a Christian God, whatever for you, whatever that works for you listening or watching. For me, it is a higher power, and that power is God to me, like through life events, through even my own life circumstance. And we could talk about some of that if you wanted to, but every single time it worked out to where we're sitting here today.
Yeah.
Too many things have happened to put us right here in this very moment that I have to be a man of God.
Yeah.
Because he's right next to me the whole way.
Yeah. How do you, I saw you did a post about, in an episode talking about who you voted for with today being election day.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, with you doing counseling and you jumping in voting, does your being a man of God impact your political affiliations? Does it impact the way you choose to work with people and counsel them? Does that all intertwine, or do you try and keep that separate?
This is not going the way you wanted to, because if you listen to that, I didn't vote. I voted. The post is kind of teasing and leading people into, as you listen to that podcast, it's I'm choosing to show up and vote for my power and my choice to make today the greatest day. So I'm not aligned with political stuff. I'm not into that. I've never have been. It was never part of my home. It wasn't like a thing that I ever got into. And no matter what side this thing happens, I think there's going to be positive consequences no matter who's elected. And there's going to be a whole bunch of negative consequences for people out there. I try to bring people back to this, this center point of like, and I think that powerful man of God thing steps in here, but is like, you've got God or your higher power, and you've got choice to wake up and say, I'm going to make the most of what I've got today. And so that whole episode is actually me talking about just wake up and choose. No matter what my circumstances are, I'm attacking the day with positivity, with hope in my heart, with my view and vision on the world to uplift people around me. So it doesn't impact the way I show up with clients or people, because I don't really care.
Yeah.
I don't really care what's sitting across from me in a therapy or a coaching session. How can I best love and support and help you grow?
Okay. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm curious for you, where you're at now in your life, what is it that led you 15 years ago to get into counseling?
This is good. You'll appreciate this. I was working in an at-risk youth center, not with the youth. I think I was just taking general ed classes in college, but I was working in the kitchen. So I'd get there, we'd make breakfast for these 300 kids and lunch and dinner. And as part of their program, if they reached a certain level, there was a level system in these youth centers. They reached a certain level, they could then get a mentor and do a 1 hour a week. This mentor that they selected, they could just hang out for the week or for the hour, throw the football, go for a walk, whatever the permission was allowed. And so one kid, he asked me, hey, will you mentor me? And I'm like, the lunch dude? Like, I guess. Like, yeah, I'll mentor you. And spending individual time with that kid, like there was something about his eyes. And I'll never forget like that moment of like, dude, someone believes in me.
Yeah.
Someone believes in my potential and my, like I'm worthy of this individual time. I'm not just one of 300 kids being shuffled from classroom to therapy room to rec room to the horses to the, and when I saw that come alive in him, I'm like, I could do this for a living. Like, this is it. Like, this is what I want to do. I want to sit with people and I want to be a reflection of the belief that God has in them through me. I'm going to help wake that up inside of somebody. And that was it. I went back in like the next week in school, and I went to my counselor at college, and I said, what, I want to become someone who does this. What is that? They're like, oh, counseling or therapy. Or it's like, cool. How close am I? And everybody, I think, is close to a psychology degree in school. Like, I was like, cool, give me all the psychology classes. Let me finish this thing. And that was it. And then I went after just becoming a therapist.
Okay.
From that kid, though, I'll never forget that kid. Him choosing me to mentor him, but then he gifted me way more than I ever did him.
Yeah.
He might argue. I don't know. I don't know where he's at. That was 18 years ago. But it was that moment of like, you actually have the power, not just me, but like people have the power to sit with a hurting person, speak belief and hope and love into them, and everything changes. And it was that moment I'm like, I'm going to do this forever.
That's huge.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And you're great at what you do.
Thank you.
You're great at what you do. I remember I hate heights and jumping off a cliff, 400 foot drop.
Yeah.
You were one of the first people that greeted me when I got to the top. And the crazy thing is I actually had more of an experience getting to the top. I don't know if my adrenaline was rushing, but my arms tensed up. I was sweating.
Yeah.
And I was like, down there, I was fine. I mean, I was nervous when you're swinging, waiting to come back up.
Yeah.
But just coming back up to the top. And so, no, it's in your DNA to serve and to show up for people.
Thank you.
I want to do something a little different. I haven't done this on any podcast episodes till now. I was on a podcast and he did this, but he gave me a space where instead of him interviewing me the whole time, he asked me what questions would I want to ask him. So I want to open it for a second. If there's any questions that you would want to ask me.
That I get to ask you. I'm a professional question asker. So this is easy and I love it. All right. And you have the reserve the right to answer or not answer. It's your podcast, your platform. But tell me about that. Where did that begin? Like, why this man on the mic stuff?
I started traveling with a bunch of influencers and going to different masterminds and networking events and meeting such amazing people. And I'm like, I'm learning these tips and these strategies and these stories. Why don't I share it with the world? Why am I just holding it in and keeping it to myself? But also, I'm like, I'm a black male in Utah County. I'm LDS. Me speaking up is not something that's seen. I know I stick out regardless. When I wake up, I walk into every room, I'm going to be different. And so rather than that bugging me for as long as it has, I'm like, I'm going to harness that. And I'm just going to speak my truth.
Yeah.
Because one thing I know in our society in 2024 is I am one of the hardest people to cancel. And so, like, I'm going to tell it how it is. I'm going to say whatever. And people can love me. People can hate me. It doesn't matter. This is my truth. This is what I believe. This is me. And just let it ride. And so kind of started diving into them and having conversations. And as they've gone on, I've learned to, you know, let's dive deeper. Let's get more into the topics. And so it's been a journey. It's been fun. It's a little tedious when you're filming so much. But one of the things that I've learned is I used to try and do like 4 podcasts in a day.
Right.
But one of the things I learned is things happening in the world change so much by the time that episode could be released.
Right.
It may not be important to the viewers. And so I'm like, let me scale it back so that when I drop an episode, it's more timely with what's happening around us. So people can apply it more to their lives and understand, you know, we're filming today on Election Day.
Yeah.
You know, that's on the top of everyone's minds right now. If we released it in January, why are we talking about Election Day? And so it's just learning the different strategies and thought process behind it. And, you know, it's a chance for me to just have conversations with people. I've tried to avoid the whole, here's a list of questions and just go down the list. I'm like, I'm just going to have authentic conversations with people. And
it's the best.
And, you know, share it with the world.
Yeah. So because you take that approach, what's something that's kind of, I don't know if shook is the right word, but like really made you rethink some of the ways you approach life from the podcast? You've been talking to somebody on this side and they gave you that thing and you're like, I wasn't expecting that. And I might have to rethink some of the ways I show up.
So it's actually interesting. It's the viewers that has caused me that, because for the first time in my life, I'll walk into a grocery store and someone's, I saw one of your videos. I'm at the gym, a kid stopped me. Hey, I just got off a mission. I love what you're doing, everything. But it's the constantly being places and being stopped by people that have seen my content. It's like, okay, wait a second. If I'm going to talk about this stuff, I better live and show up and be 100% everything that I say, that I do, and I believe, because people are actually watching.
Yeah.
You can sit here and you can film and have a conversation. And in your mind, you're like, well, no one's actually going to watch this. Maybe just my parents, because they support me.
Yeah.
But when you start meeting kids who are like, hey, this video helped me, or I saw this, or something that you saw the other day, it changes your perspective. And then it starts changing how you act in public situations, because you're like, oh, wait, they know me from social media. They expect me to be a certain way. And it's interesting, talking about the experience we talked about earlier, one of the kids who, he followed me, he reached out, he's like, I love your stuff, everything. He started to come play basketball, and he saw that whole explosion, and he reached out to me. He's like, are you okay? That's not like you. Because all he had seen is what he sees on social media. And, you know, I said to him, you know, I consider myself to be a great person, but I do have my faults, and here's where I fall short sometimes. I had to explain to him kind of, this is me. It has its negatives and its positives, but it's still me.
Right.
And so I think that's the biggest thing that I've taken away.
Yeah. Well, and you show up, like there's this law of congruency, and I feel it from you. Like you do show up. So if people do see you in public, they're like, oh, that's the same. That's like the same guy that's on the camera or on his social media. And then when those one moment, that moment happens, and he's like, I love that phrase, by the way, that doesn't seem like you, or that's not like you.
Yeah.
I think people should take that phrase and use it a lot, because there are parts of us that will show up that isn't like us. It's inside all of us. But when those moments do happen, rather than shaming ourselves or beating ourselves up for that moment of like humanness and our flawed ways, just be like, that's not like me. That's not like me.
Yeah.
Get back to being me.
Yeah.
We're allowed to be that. But that isn't actually like me.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, it's not. You're allowed to do that, but that's not like me. So I love that phrase, but all right, I got one more for you.
Okay.
So in some of these things, has there ever been a moment where you're like, yeah, I'm going to leave it, but we probably should edit that, or I shouldn't have said that, or maybe a bit of a regret, or like some backtracking?
You know, the craziest things that I've heard, or stuff that I'm like, maybe this shouldn't get out, is usually the conversations before we start.
Yes.
We're sitting down, it's someone I know, we're getting comfortable, and we start talking and everything.
Yeah.
But the craziest thing is, I almost wish the camera was rolling, because it's some of the best information and the person being real. Because once the camera starts, some people, they kind of shift. Whereas before, they're relaxed, they're authentic, this is who they are. I remember I was on a podcast in Las Vegas, and we had a great episode. And afterwards, we got talking, and my dad was sitting there, and he's like, that was the best part of this whole experience, was your guys' conversation after the podcast. Because the cameras were coming off, and we were talking about his life growing up in Cali and his experiences there and everything. And so I think that it pops up all the time.
Yeah.
And I wish there was a way to bring some of those nuggets into it. Almost makes me want to do part two.
It's true.
Of the episodes, and be like, hey, you know, here's some stuff we touched on. Here's how we can navigate that so we can share it with the world, but also don't dive into certain things.
Yep. Maybe that's your paid platform. That's the next thing, is the behind the scenes access. People paying to get a little
behind the scenes.
Why not? You give all this free content and free help out there. It's okay for you to be like, let's get a little something also for the behind the scenes stuff.
That's true.
They are good conversations though beforehand. And I hope, it is always interesting. It's that social media kind of persona or mask that people wear. You know, you've seen funny stuff on social media before where like the guy and the girlfriend are taking a picture, and once she's done, he's back to his grumpy self.
Yeah.
It's like, pose for the picture and then go back to your normal.
Well, and
we get what people see.
Yeah.
I know that about you. And I've had plenty of people even sign up for therapy with me, and they're like, I feel like I know your life. I'm like, this is me. This really is just me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be that. Tell me how that makes you feel kind of. Mm-hmm. That's not the kind of therapist I am.
Yeah.
I'm this right now. You and I could be in therapy right now. This is the same type of energy people are getting.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sign me up. So I'm curious. I would love to know if No one knows when checkout time is or when our time on this earth is over. If you were to be remembered by people for one thing, what would that be?
They had more belief in themselves after interacting with me.
That's huge.
They had a restored sense of hope that they have the ability to be their best version of themselves because I was in their life.
I love that.
That would be the greatest compliment somebody could ever feel or say or an experience they could have because of, like, with me.
I love that.
And that's a direct, I try to, I'm not trying to be some like savior or prophet or whatever of the world, but like, that's just a direct God. I often say this prayer, like, help me find the words you need this person to hear today. Like, just work through me to them. Like, that's it. Yeah. I just want to be that thing for the people that I work with, is like, yeah, that belief and that hope and that love that you feel right now, that's just how God sees and feels about you. You're just feeling it. Now go live that.
Yeah.
That's it. One of my favorite affirmations is I was meant for greatness because greatness is inside of me because greatness created me.
I like that. I think that's big for people to learn and people to understand. I have so many friends who are struggling, friends that are suicidal, going through depression, everything. And I'm like, if they would just have that outlook, their whole life would shift. Their whole life would change.
Yeah.
But they focus on either the stuff they can't control,
yeah,
or all of the negatives. And I'm like, guys, just focus on what you can control and what's in front of you.
Right.
Be present, be where your feet are, and attack one step at a time.
Yep.
Well, brother,
yep,
thank you for sitting down with me.
Yeah, we finally made it happen.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, no, appreciate
thank you,
you
for creating time from your schedule and being willing to open up and, you know, dive deep on some topics.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Man on the Mic. We appreciate you spending your time with us today. Remember, our podcast is available on all platforms, so you can listen anytime, anywhere. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated. New episodes drop every week. Until next time, keep the conversation going. And as always, stay true to yourself. Thanks for watching.